Hi, my name is Jack Register, and I am your host for Finding the Zen Within, an anger management podcast for men. Welcome back. We're really glad you're here. So today's conversation is going to be about triggers. What are they? What do they mean? How do they actually show up? What does this really mean in the world of anger management and emotional regulation work? So my name is Jack. I'm a social worker. I'm a coach. I'm a therapist. I'm an academic, but most of all, I'm a man who has struggled with anger management most of my adult life. And triggers are one of those things that continually come up, these invisible sorts of parts of us that seem to get hit by other folks or seem to be have situations that just light them up. And the next thing we know, we're responding in a way that we don't want to be. This podcast is not therapy. This podcast is a conversation for men by men to have a conversation about how we can do things differently and how we can show up differently. If at any point you're starting to find yourself feeling like you're having thoughts of hurting yourself or someone else, please reach out to the National Suicide Hotline through a text at 988. If you do find that you're actually wondering if I can do therapy around this work and actually have some healing, there are places like Open Path and Psychology Today and Therapy Den where you can find lots of qualified folks to be able to help you do the work that you're looking at doing. We're really glad you're here. Today's conversation is going to take us through the journey of what are triggers from a psychological point of view. What do they really mean? Are they permanent? And can we do anything about them? And then, once we actually know that they're there, what's our responsibility? So I'll start with this idea that I have carried with me throughout my life. And the notion is, and this was something I read somewhere at some point in time, so I'm going to do an author unknown so that I am not trying to say that this is something that I created. But you are not responsible for the folks who cut you. However you got hurt, you're not responsible for that. And the trigger that was created is something you have to live with. However, you are responsible for making sure that you don't bleed on people who never hurt you. And that's a really important point because, unfortunately, the people that we love are the ones who tend to be the most at risk from our triggers. They are the ones who catch the brunt of our explosions, of our inability to regulate ourselves. They're the ones that we say things to that we would never say or want to say. These could be our partners, our wives, our girlfriends, our children, our parents, or people who are important to us. And oftentimes, the closer someone is, the more likely we're not going to know that we just popped off and said something or did something that we didn't want to do. So let's dig into this conversation a little bit. So one of the common triggers for men is this notion of feeling disrespected. Men struggling with anger management may have a low tolerance for feeling disrespected, whether perceived or real. And this is one of the things about triggers that's really important. Perception is as important as reality. So this idea of being respected, meaning people see me as a man, they see me for who I am, they understand that that means something, and that they have to approach me and interact with me in a certain way. The old adage is respect is earned on both sides of the street. It's not just given because of who we are. That's a tough pill for many guys to swallow in their work. Just because you're the biggest and the baddest doesn't mean that everyone has to kowtow to you. Because the other adage is, those who live by the sword die by the sword. Many people walk through life with this huge chip on their shoulder because they spent the early part of their life having people treat them in that way, and now it's their turn. The issue, my friends, is that when we do that, we basically walk through life generation after generation, repeating the same patterns. What about the radical possibility we could set all of that down? I see you as a human being and as a man who is struggling. I am a human being and a man who struggles too. I see you as you are, and I am more than happy to help you if you're happy to help me. Sometimes we might make mistakes with each other, and that means we just need to apologize and move on to the next place. So disrespect, that's one of the biggest ones. Frustration and powerlessness. This is a huge one. Men who experience a sense of powerlessness or lack of control in their lives may exhibit heightened anger in response to situations that reinforce their powerlessness. If you feel like the whole weight of the world is on you then you're going to lash out in those moments of extreme stress because you don't have any tools whatsoever to use in that moment. It's as if you're riding through life with all flat tires and none of the headlights working in the middle of a rainstorm. My friends, we've all been there. We've all been in those situations where it feels so overwhelming just to walk out the front door and try and make a living. We all feel overwhelmed by the expectations that we do or be or say or show up. But the thing is that powerlessness leads to more powerlessness. We always have the ability to do one thing, even if that one thing is to stop and catch our breath. Some of us have past unresolved trauma experiences. Now, in our culture, a lot of things get labeled as trauma. So I'll tell you from my work as a therapist, trauma are experiences that were non-affirming that created a repetitive experience for us of reliving that moment. Physically, emotionally, psychologically, spiritually, sexually, financially, all kinds of things can lead to repeated wounds that never heal. Oftentimes, many of us men will walk through life with really deep wounds that we never tell anyone about. And without exposure to air, to light, to love, those wounds will not heal. So past traumas become a huge area for many of us. And oftentimes, many of us guys just want to deny that those are even there. The problem is, my friends, is that we end up in a situation where we keep repeating the same pattern, or worse, hand our wounds to the people we love, particularly our sons, and they then have to live with those wounds as well. Stress. High levels of stress related to anything in life, any sort of challenge, can trigger anger as a response, because for many of us, we don't have coping skills. We live in a stressful society. We live in a world that is 24/7, 366. It never stops. And the sense of the constant hustle keeps us all moving to the point where sometimes we don't feel like we are allowed to stop, because if we stop, everything's going to go to hell in a handbasket. That's in our heads, guys. That's not real. You are not a machine. You are a human. You do not have capacity to go 365, 24/7, and actually survive. And I would much rather be the little old guy on the porch when I'm 95 years old, enjoying my family, as opposed to the person who dies at 50 from a heart attack because I couldn't stop. Interpersonal conflicts. Conflicts in relationship, whether this is with a partner, family member, friend, colleague, can trigger huge amounts of anger. Difficulties in communication and conflict resolution that we'll talk about in a little bit become really huge. Interpersonal conflict for many of us as men go back to the idea of respect and go back to the idea that when we don't know what to do, we go back to what was modeled for us generations before. And this modeling may mean silence. Many of us deal with anger by going silent. Many of us deal with stress by going silent. When we do this, we end up in a situation where none of our best self is present, only our survivor self. And our families, the people we love, deserve the best of us, not just the survivor in us. Feelings of injustice or unfairness. If we have a strong sense of justice, a strong sense of right and wrong, we may react with anger when there's a perceived or real situation that is unfair or unjust. This can trigger us to just completely and totally come undone, particularly if we have a strong moral compass or moral focus in our lives. For many folks, this idea of injustice and I have to fight the war. The longer we fight a war, the more we're at war. Many, many, many men I have worked with over the years, the first thing that they say to me is, I'm exhausted and I don't know if I can fight anymore. And my question to them is, what are you fighting for? And if they say, I'm fighting for my family, I ask them where their family is, and they look around in their life and they're like, they're not here anymore. And I said, did you sacrifice your family in the war in order to save your family? And that question usually gets a very confused look, and guys will stop and pause. And I'll say to them, is it better to be right, or is it better to actually be connected and loved? Sometimes the war that we perceive that we have to win is not a war at all. It's a disagreement. It's a perspective of ideas. It's one person can believe one thing and one person can believe another, and we can move forward and be okay. We have to choose how to respond. When we lose control, control is one of those perceived ideas that we think we have the power to do something in the world, to enact our will, or to create change in the world. Control requires some level of power. It requires some level of influence. And the sense is that many of us believe that if we can control reality itself, everything will be okay. The problem is that what's underneath of control is expectation. Expectations mean I expect my results to be the results, and if they don't happen, then there's something wrong. My friends, there's not much we really control in this world other than ourselves. We control how we react. We control what we do with our feelings and our thoughts. We cannot control the will of others. We can try, but we're not going to keep them around for very long. And a lot of life is like the weather. It's going to happen. It's going to happen far beyond our planning, our thinking. No matter what we put out there in the world, we may not be able to get the results that we want. That does not mean that we're not good at control. It means that we've tried everything we can, and there are forces bigger than we are. So the thing is to remember is go back to self. I control me, and that's about it. I can tell people what I want, what I need, and what I have capacity for. And then ask them if they can meet me in the middle. And that becomes really important. Emotional inhibition. Many men are socialized or taught to push our feelings down, that we can't have complex feelings. Even in today's world in 2024, we still have this idea, boys don't cry, boys don't show those emotions, or that somehow weakness is what happens when you do show emotion. It's really critical for us to understand that the emotional palette that humans have are instinctually put there for a reason, for us to survive and thrive in this world, and that unless we can feel the full palette of emotion, we are not truly living the human experience. Now, for many of us, this means looking backwards at our fathers, grandfathers, uncles, and so on, and asking them why they did this. And many of them will turn and look behind them, because this is something that's been passed down generation after generation to men for so long that it's a part of the human culture and human experience. But we can choose to live differently. We can choose to still be strong and yet show feeling. We can choose to own our mistakes and make amends for those mistakes and still be good, powerful men without costing the people around us their sanity in order to love us. Addiction, substance use, behavioral process addictions is another way in which we actually find is a huge trigger when it comes to anger issues. Substances lower our inhibitions. The fastest way to really figure out where somebody is have a few drinks with them, right? Well, the same thing is true whenever somebody's dealing with gambling, shopping, sex, any of those other things that can become behavioral problems. The notion of addiction is anything that you're doing that you would give up your day-to-day experiences for and use resources in order to get your fix that you would actually put somewhere else in your day-to-day life. Addiction is a really serious issue and is an illness, like mental health concerns. And we have to really understand that our anger can be triggered to the point of rage, and rage itself can become addictive. That's going to be a whole other conversation for us in the future. External triggers. Sometimes many of us have things that happen to us where loud noises, crowded spaces, specific triggers linked to past negative experiences can provoke us to anger. These are usually folks struggling with mental health conditions like post-traumatic stress disorder or panic disorder. Folks who might have natural sorts of things like people who are afraid of heights or people who are afraid of closed spaces. This fear is not irrational. This fear is built out of some wiring that we have within us that says, this is not a safe situation for me. And we have to have some grace for folks when they share those experiences with us versus the idea that we have to help them become over them or get over them really quickly, or that you are weak if you can't. Many of us have these naturally occurring triggers that are outside of us. So what can we do with all of this? The first thing we have to do is to get mindful. We've said this many times in the podcast thus far. Mindfulness means really getting centered in the here and now, in this moment, aligning your head, your heart, and your instincts. So an exercise I would do with you right now, just take a deep breath, as deep as you can, and then hold it at the top of the breath for a beat of three, and then just let go. Whoosh, let it out. Take another big, huge, deep breath, hold it at the top. Beat of one, beat of two, beat of three. Whoosh, let it go. One more time for good measure. Huge, deep breath, big as you can. Hold it at the top for a beat of one, a beat of two, a beat of three. Now let go. Whoosh. If you feel a little lightheaded, that means that you actually hyperventilate. You're not getting enough oxygen to the brain. If you feel a little dizzy, it means you're not getting enough air. It means that basically you go through life as if you're running. The notion is that breathing is the first way that we pause the entire nervous system. We pause all of the synaptic flashes so that we can actually understand what in the world is going on around us and in the world within us. And that becomes one of the first interventions. Meditation is about using mindfulness to really be clear what is it we want to have happen and to give ourselves a chance to just be present. A meditation I use on a regular basis is that I will actually, at the grocery store, for example, count the steps. How far is it from the dairy case to the bread? How far is it from the bread to my favorite snack? How far is it from there to the dog food? How far is it from there to the sodas, and so on? And this notion of counting my steps in between the different places I need to go in the grocery store allows me to be really present in the here and now. Because I'll ask myself, what is my body experiencing right now? Do I remember what the kind of dog food that my dogs like is? Do I remember what my partner's favorite flavor of ice cream is? Do I remember how many apples we actually need? And to be really centered in the moment of what's it like to do this task, as opposed to, oh my gosh, I got to get this done so I can get that done, so I can get that done, so I can get home and mow the yard, so I can get started on this project, so I can then help the kiddos deal with their science project, so I can then deal with this, so I can deal with this, so I can then finally crash out at 11 o'clock at night, brain spinning, body exhausted, not even sure what in the world's going on. We cannot burn through all of our energy at once, or there won't be anything left to burn through. Stress management is the idea of intentionally deciding how are we going to live in a world that never stops? How are we going to show up for ourselves in such a way that we are not going to be stuck constantly whenever we can't take care of ourselves because things are just moving far too fast? That, my friends, is a really important thing. Stress management helps us to understand the subtle building of depression and anxiety symptoms that can then lead to other things down the road. So I leave you with this thought today. There are lots of things in this world that can trigger our response. That response is innate to us. It's a part of our wiring in the base of our brain that kept us safe when we were hiding from dinosaurs. Otherwise, we were going to be some T-Rex's lunch. There are no dinosaurs in today's world, y'all. It may feel like it. It can feel like that meeting that you have to get to, that conversation with the boss, the issues you're dealing with your kiddos, whatever it is, can feel just like that. But if you are activated at a point where you feel like you're running from a T-Rex, then you're not involved in a healthy relationship with yourself or the world around you. Because if everything around you is trying to kill you, then you go into the mindset of kill or be killed. None of us want to live there because it's not a healthy space. So with intention, with patience, and very slow and methodical work, we can unwind these triggers. There's a popular myth that triggers are innate and permanent, and that actually in psychology is not true. We can learn to disentangle, to disempower, and pull these triggers out of us, but it takes huge amounts of patience. I've said to folks before, if you're willing to spend 6 weeks to develop your abs and your biceps, then you should be able to spend 6 weeks developing the capacity to remove this trigger from your psyche so that your family and the people around you that you love get the best and healthiest version of you on the inside and the outside. The work of psychology is just like a regular workout for your body, except it's about your brain and about your emotions. And in future podcasts, we're going to talk about how to develop a mental routine, much like your physical workout. I graciously appreciate you all being with me on the journey today. Know that I am really excited to see the popularity of our podcast taking off the way that it has. We're already in 3 countries. We've got some guests coming on soon, so I really look forward to continued conversation. If you want to know more about what I'm about, check out my website, jack-register.com. Please feel free to drop me an email, jack@jack-register.com. Let's have a chat. Take care, my friends, and be well.